For our top agent interview, I'm so excited to have Randy Thompson with us today. Now, Randy's been a State Farm agent for 17 years. And in those 17 years, he's been President's Club 29 times. He's traveled exotic 17 times in 17 years, MDRT all 17 years. And by the way, he's done all this in the small town of Afton, Wyoming, population 2,200. So, Randy, I can't wait to dive into this interview. Thank you so much for joining us today.
You sure are welcome. Thanks, Bill.
And so, Randy, one of the things I want to focus on today is the team. I know that hiring and training and retaining and coaching and motivating and holding accountable is just the biggest challenge that agents face. So I'd really love to learn more about how you do that. So start off and tell us a little bit about your agency and your team.
Yeah. So I've got 10 team members, and we have a very specific skill set, I think, that we're looking for. And it's things that I believe that we can't train. If you've got them, then you're eligible to be hired. And if you don't, then it doesn't matter. I can't train these things. And those specific things are what I look for when I hire. We have a sales
and before you
service.
And give us an example of what are the things you're looking for that you can't, you can't train that they just kind of have to have.
All right. You know, a lot of agents are looking for the superstar, the thoroughbred that's going to, win the race or hit the home run right on the first pitch out of the plate. And I don't believe that those type of people are who we really want in the insurance world. We want people that are going to give us their heart on a daily basis, but you can develop these people. You don't need a thoroughbred. You just need a Mustang. And forgive me for the little country analogies that comes from being a cowboy here in Wyoming, but there's three specific attributes, Bill, that I look for. The first is honesty. I believe that a person that's honest at heart is going to always do the right thing. And so when I'm interviewing and looking for clients, I'm specifically asking questions to get a feel for what they're like, what their soul is like on the inside, because I don't think I can teach honesty. If you're not honest, you're going to cut corners. You're going to cheat when nobody's looking, and we certainly can't have that in this industry. So that's a key component. And I might start by just saying something like, Bill, tell me about a time when you were young, when you got caught cheating. What did you do and how did you react? And I want to listen in my interview to the candidate express themselves, tell a story, and be completely transparent and honest with me. Hmm. And I'm listening more for how they respond to me than the words that they use or the story that they tell. But I specifically target on these things. So honesty is a key one. And I'll ask a few questions about that. The second thing I look for is somebody that has a kind heart. We're in a service industry where we're dealing with people that deal with trouble and tragedy. And I don't care whether they're your best friend, your family member, or a stranger. I need to know that you're always interested in trying to help them get in a better place. And so I'll ask questions to try to determine whether they've got a kind heart, because a selfish individual is an individual that's going to create drama and challenges for you in the office. Okay. And a kind person will always go the extra mile, go a little extra to do the job that needs to be done, because that's just what kind people do.
Yeah.
And then the third attribute I believe that I can't train, that either you got or you're not, is the ability to work hard. And I'm not interested in the person with a 4.0 GPA that gets their first job after they graduate from college. I'm looking for the individual that got their first job when they were 8 years old, delivering papers at 4 a.m, you know, and help take care of their single mom and help pay the bills when they were young, and, you know, knows how to get a little dirt under their fingernails. And so I'm going to ask questions about, you know, tell me what hard work looks like. You know, tell me about the first job you ever had. Tell me about the kind of chores you did in your home. I want to understand that, because a person that knows how to work hard doesn't have to be told what to do. They're always looking for, and they take pride in a job well done. So I promise you, everything else can be trained, but those three things, if they're absent, are going to create problems for you. So I'm not interested in an employee that doesn't have those three things at the get-go. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I love that. So honesty, kind heart, and work hard. Now, I loved your question for honesty. That's such a good one. Mm-hmm. You know, tell me about a time when you were young and you got caught cheating. And then you're really just kind of listening to how they answer that question. And And then with the third one, I love your questions about, you know, what's hard work look like for you? And tell me about the time you, tell me about the chores you did, or what was your first job? And you're looking for that, you know, kid who was working at a very young age, as opposed to the person that was sort of always coddled and first job is that job out of college. So I love that. Tell me about the second one. How could you determine if somebody has a kind heart? What would the question be that you'd ask there?
Yeah, I might ask questions like, tell me about a time when you saw someone being bullied in school. Mm. What happened and what did you do? Mm. That's telling. Or, you know, tell me how you feel about homeless people and beggars when they're on the street asking for money. Like, these are kind of questions that is coming out of the blue, and your candidate's thinking, you know, you're going to want to ask them about their former job, right? Or their skill set. I'm not interested in that because I can train skill sets. I can't train your core, what's inside you. And so that's why I ask those kind of questions. And I always am like, tell me about a time when. I want them to tell me a story and express their answer in a way that helps me understand, can I visualize this? Can they speak clearly and do they communicate clearly? There's a lot of other things that come from that type of a question.
Yeah. Yeah. Beautiful. I love that. Okay. So excellent. So, and I kind of interrupted you there, but those are the things you're looking for in your team. Tell us a little bit more. You know, once you've got the team on board, then it's time to train them and retain them and create the culture. Talk a little bit about how you do that.
Well, you know, I come from a world of teaching and coaching before I got into this insurance business. And the one thing that I know is that repetition is a key to get things kind of in the marrow of your bones, right? And so you've got to teach something. In fact, there's a process, I call it learn, act, share. So the first thing I do is I teach my team what it is that I want them to do. Then I act it out and demonstrate. So really we talk about, okay, let's say it's life insurance. So guys, this is why we talk about life insurance, why it brings revenue to the agency, how you get paid, why it's important to you, but why it's so important to the customer, right? And then I'll explain and teach how we do it, and I act it out. Like we role play, or I call it drilling. We practice and drill because that's what you do in a wrestling room. And then I'll say, okay, your turn. You got to get up and share what you've learned. You have to explain to me, why do we sell life insurance? How do we sell life insurance? What does it sound like, smell like, taste like? You know, and I want them to practice hard so the game is easy, right? We practice hard in our morning meetings and we do it on a daily basis. So I actually have 7 processes that we use. Life insurance and our process with the, you know, stairs and buckets is one of the 7. Your world that you have masterfully created is another one of our 7 processes. And so every single day we meet from 8 to 9 and I'll get up and I'll present, and then I make all my team members get up and present too. And the goal is to practice that over and over again for the entire week. And then at the end of that week, we are done with it until 7 weeks later, because we've got 6 other processes we've got to practice as well. And this concept of learn, act, share is repetitive. And too many agents are looking for the new best idea. And we don't need a new best idea. We just need to be good at it, the ones we've got, and just get it really good. And if you keep revisiting it, then your team doesn't get rusty. But if you don't revisit it, they will get rusty.
Got it.
Does that make sense?
Absolutely. So each process, you may spend a week on one of the processes.
And, that's correct.
And then the next week, you're moving to the next one. That's beautiful. And by the way, I love your learn, act, share. And as a trainer, it's a very similar concept. I've heard that referred to as a teach back. So I'm going to teach you something.
Very good.
Yeah, and I'm going to teach you something, and then I'd like you to teach it back to me. And what I was trained on is that it's very important to let the learner know that there will be a teach back. You know, I'm going to teach you this, and then I want you to teach it back to me. And apparently, when you learn something with the intent to teach it, you learn it at a much deeper level.
Interesting. Yeah, I would really agree. And I think it's good that they know at the front end, hey, I'm going to show you how it's done, but then you have to show me. We're going to see how good you do.
Yeah.
And it takes the worry and fear because, you know what, 7 weeks have gone by since I got up in front of my team and I'm a little rusty and they see it and it takes the nervousness away when they get up afterwards. So we're not trying to put people on the spot and make them uncomfortable. What we're really trying to do is get them to learn how to fail comfortably amongst your peers. So when you're out in front of the customers, you don't fail, but you succeed.
Yeah. Yeah. Beautiful. Next thing I wanted to talk about, you mentioned one of your processes is the Your World conversation. Talk just in general. I think most people are familiar with it, but maybe you could tell us just in general how you guys use Your World and how it's impacted your agency, your customers, that sort of thing.
Well, I think Your World is actually a better and easier conversation to replicate over and over again than the simple conversation or whatever else is out there. You know, there's lots of different approaches to creating a review for your clients, but simply the way we work it is this, you know, we've got 3,000 households in our book of business, and we pull all of the people who have homes renewing the next month. We run a list and we call them, say, hey, your home's up for renewal. It's time for you to come in for your annual review. We need to sit down and just make sure Your World is okay. Our job is to be your financial safety net. So we have a person that sets that appointment. The customers come in specifically to review their policies. And we're not there to review the minutiae of their insurance policies. We're there to understand their world and obviously the gaps that are in it. And my team does a very good job in about 20, 25 minutes of going through those 7 risks, you know, and understanding the gaps and understanding the, you know, what's the most important priority for the customer and then closing those gaps. I don't know if that answers your question, but that's how we use the Your World conversation. So every month we're calling on the people whose homes renew the next month. It's very easy. And then we just move through our entire book of business over the course of 12 months. And we, you know, don't get everybody, but we get the lion's share of them.
Yeah. And I think that's a beautiful system. And a system is such an important thing because you can't go do a Your World for everybody, but we can certainly reach out to people whose homes are renewing. And we could say, hey, it's time for your annual review. You know, your home's coming up for renewal and we need to sit down and make sure Your World is okay. You know, we're your financial safety net. I think that sounds fantastic. So you guys must be doing what, I don't know, 100 Your Worlds a month or 50 or how many do you guys think you guys do a month?
So I'm probably, I would say, 5 a week per producer plus me. So 30, I'd love to say we're doing about 30 a week. So 100 to 120 a month.
Yeah.
You know, at least that's how many we have scheduled. That's usually about a goal is 5 a week per producer plus me.
Yeah.
So
yeah. That's beautiful.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. And let me ask you, with COVID, have you guys started using the virtual Your World, or are you still doing them mostly face-to-face, or how do you do your worlds?
Yes. So the answer is both. They've been excellent. Both the virtual and the face-to-face obviously is excellent too. I think that the only challenge, we're a little limited on the company wanting us to specifically talk virtually about health insurance products. And so we can't show, like, so our technology allows us to do a virtual Your World conversation. But then when we get to the first risk and we talk about health insurance or the second one about disability, sometimes we're a little limited in what we're able to show the client. That's been my only hiccup, but outside of that, it's been excellent.
Got it. Very good. All right, so now I want to move into training, and I'm just delighted to know that you guys are in our infantry training school and that Steve is coaching you guys 2 times per month in a group setting. Mm-hmm. Talk a little bit about, I know that culture and training is so big for you guys. Talk a little bit about specifically infantry training school and how that works and what's going on. Maybe you could just give other agents a glimpse into that.
Well, you know, again, coming from a wrestling background, we spend a good lion's share of the school season with boys in either the wrestling room or the weight room. And then summer comes, and what do we do as coaches? We load our boys up on buses and we send them to the wrestling camp. so that other coaches can teach them things we've been working on with them all year long. And I've just learned that sometimes a boy will learn something from a coach that I've been trying to get into his head for weeks or months or years, and somehow another voice connects with them. I don't care who teaches them. I just care that the kids master it. I believe the same thing happens with our team members. And, you know, like the Lord said in the New Testament, no man's a prophet in his own country. Sometimes I'm just Randy in my office. Yeah, I'm the boss, but I'm just Randy. And so it's so refreshing to hear from you, Bill, or from Steve or other coaches out there that are teaching what you've been trying to get these guys to do or to say, and all of a sudden a light goes on and they start doing it. And so I believe every agent should be looking for coaching opportunities from other coaches, one, to develop themselves, but two, to develop their team. And it's been a huge blessing. So I like Steve because he's kind, but he's direct. He's not afraid to tell somebody if they screwed up or they messed up, because his intentions are good. He wants them to be successful. And that rings true. He's very passionate about what he does, and he's competent. We've always done well in life insurance in my agency, but I also believe that I can't just sit on my laurels. I've got to always be getting better. So I'm always looking for my team to have better skill sets to do a little bit better. And it was really interesting to watch them blossom this year. They're much more confident. I've got, you know, three of my producers are very tenured, seasoned, and successful. Sometimes you get a little resistant or reluctant when you're like, no, my way works, right? And then I've got a couple of young ones that are new, and they're almost like a fresh book, and they'll just try anything. And it's been wonderful to watch them interact with each other. But then with Steve and Tim, who do a great job of calling them out, correcting them, as well as the others on the call. And I've just enjoyed it. I felt like it was money well spent. And I think it'd be silly for any agent to not give something like this a try.
Oh, beautiful. Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate that comment. Let me ask you just a couple of other quick little questions. One is, I'm curious, I'm always wondering what agents are reading. Are there any specific books you've read in the past or you're reading now that you would encourage other agents to read?
Well, I do read a lot myself, and I find that about 80% of the content that's out there is recycled ideas. They're not that they're not bad, but they're a lot of the same. But every once in a while, you come across some gems. And there are some great books that I would recommend. If you're focused on sales in the life insurance industry, there's books like Confessions of a CPA, The Power of Zero, Money, Wealth, Life Insurance, and Tax-Free Retirement. Each one of those books are excellent books that are easy to read, easy for team members to read, and can really help you in your conversations. There's other books out there that I really enjoyed that were more personal development, that caused me to think a little bit differently. The Slight Edge by Jeff Olson, and The Compound Effect, I think that was Darren Hardy. Those are great books too, that especially in the sales world helps us understand, like, it's okay to have a no, and it's okay to keep pushing forward. And there's a result at the end of all of this work, you know? So those are just a few books right off the top of my head that I think are really good ones I've enjoyed.
Excellent. I love those. And I was taking notes as fast as I could. Back when you said in sales and life insurance, I got the first one was Confessions of a CPA. The second one was The Power of Zero. And then what was, I think you mentioned a third and a fourth one, but I couldn't quite get them out.
Money, Wealth, Life Insurance is a book. It was actually written by Jake Thompson. He's not a relative of mine, but that's an excellent book, especially for business owners. And then the last was Tax-Free Retirement by Patrick Kelly. Every one of those books are books you can hand out to customers. You can give them to team members that do a great job of helping us understand the power of life insurance as an asset class, cash savings type vehicle, not just a death benefit you're trying to provide something happens and you're dead, right? And people like it. Like it because they're like, oh, I can gain more wealth by using this tool this way. Yeah. That's what those books do.
Excellent. I love it. I have not read those, but I'm going to go buy each one of them and can't wait to check them out. So thanks for sharing that. A couple last questions. One is, You know, I know your team is such has become a powerful team and a wonderful team. And I know that a lot of agents struggle to develop a great, you know, to recruit and hire and train and retain a great team. If some agent said, you know, Randy, what advice would you give me if I wanted to recruit and hire and retain and train a great team? Any insights, any advice you'd give about developing a great team?
Well, it takes time, and you have to have time in front of them, you know, and that's why it's so important to meet with them daily. For me, we come in early. My team's here by 7:45. We meet from 8 to 9, then the office opens at 9 every single day. So every single day, not only are we practicing, but we're also talking about our successes and our failures. We're dealing with our troubles and the objections and the business issues that come in an agency, and it creates a camaraderie. Now, I'm not the boss that has all the answers. I'm the boss that recognizes I have 10 brilliant individuals. And so a lot of times one of my team members might bring up a problem and I'll say, hey, Kathy, what do you think? Or Jasmine, what do you think? I don't have to give them the answers. And the team works together. And I think that that's probably the most important thing that's allowed me in a little country town to sell at the highest levels is my team's working together in a very kind of synergistic way.
Yeah, that's beautiful. You know, it's funny. I was just having lunch with a good friend of mine who's a very successful financial advisor. And he made a great, we were talking about kids and how to get kids to save money and invest money and start to grow their wealth. And he said, one of the things that he always teaches is, he said, Bill, it's not timing the market. It's time in the market. You know, in other words, you know, you're starting young and continuing on and that sort of thing. And so I love what you said about time in front of them. It reminds me of his comment, you need time in front of the team. You can't just be an absentee owner and expect it to all happen on its own. So I think that's a really valuable point you're making there.
Thanks. I want agents to understand it's a lot like a coach. If he doesn't show up to practice, what's practice going to be like?
Right.
And if the coach doesn't show up on game day, how's the team really going to perform? Listen, your job isn't to play the game, but your job's to make sure the players are prepped and ready, and that you're there to oversee it. So if we would just take that kind of attitude approach, I promise our success rate would go through the roof.
Beautiful. Randy, thank you. Last question, and that is there anything that I did not ask you that you'd like to share with our self-study group?
Well, maybe I'm a little biased, but if you guys want to go to Amazon, you can read Randy Thompson's bestseller book, Paychecks Never Lie. You know, I talk about in this book that I wrote, really a story about how wrestlers have to make weight by stepping on the scale, but the scale never lies. We know whether boys have been cheating and eating, if they've been working out hard, or if they've been sneaking treats at midnight, you know? And the same thing goes in our insurance agencies. And so I promise you there's systems and processes that are out there. Maybe that's a little tongue in cheek, whether you want to go get this book, but I would just say at the end of the day, if you're serious about getting better, it always starts with you. And then once you get better, you can lift your team. So make that commitment and then the motion will take care of itself and results will be what comes next.
Excellent. Randy, I can't wait. And by the way, I'll start with your book. You've mentioned 6 great books, but I'm starting with yours. And I think that sounds fantastic. And I did not know until this interview that you had written a book, so I can't wait to check it out. So congratulations on that.
Thanks, Bill. Appreciate you.
Listen, Randy, thanks so much. I know that our group will really enjoy this interview. You always have such insightful comments. So thank you so much. I look forward to talking again soon.
All right. Take care.
Bye-bye. Hey, see you, Randy. Bye-bye.